now on how do we raise children in a postmodern society. In our initial discussions, we described to you how Jesus was raised during the time of Herod, or the Bible uses the word in the days of Herod. Remember that Daniel was living in the time of Babylon. Even Ezekiel, as a young boy, was living in captivity, but they were not shaped by that environment. And now we are living in a postmodern era where our children are affected very much by the social norms and what society demands. But we as citizens of the kingdom, as parents in particular, and also as spiritual fathers or shepherds of the flock, we need to know how to craft the right environment to raise our children within this postmodern era. What we must also understand that in the kairoses of God, or times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, God releases a word in due season. And the Bible declares that a man who builds wisely, or a wise servant, knows how to give food in due season. So in this postmodern era, you have to know how to dispense food in this season. So today I just want to focus on two portions of scripture, and it's in Luke chapter 2 verse number 40 and Luke 2 verse 52, and all of us are familiar with these portions of scripture. It is during the growth phase of Jesus Christ as he is entering his teenage years, as you would call it, from birth into his teenage years. And we see how he began to grow in different areas of his life. So the Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse number 40, the child grew, and this is reference to Jesus Christ, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Luke 2 verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men. Now, the word grace and favor is the same word in the Greek. It is the word charis. And basically, Jesus was growing in grace. He was growing in what we would call a grace environment, or a grace enabling environment. Much has been emphasized about building grace environments. And so children must grow in a grace environment if they are to deal with the postmodern problems that we are facing right now. And a grace-filled environment will result in impact and also in impartation taking place in their lives. Now, while Jesus was in this what we would call a grace environment, you would see that he grew by becoming strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom. He also increased in stature, and he also had the favor of God and the favor of man on his life. So if you look at the dimensions of growth, it is spiritually, it is mentally, it is physically, and it is socially. We will call this holistic growth. And so it is so important for us as parents to know how to build those environments. We did an entire series on crafting environments at the beginning of the year, I think end of last year sometime. Now, developing those environments where children grow holistically is a very essential part of parenting. Remember that church is a place where there are grace transactions, and we go to church so that we can be taught, or we learn certain disciplines, or we learn certain doctrines. And those doctrines must translate to being lived or worked out or being fleshed out in our homes, in our families, in our businesses, in our daily living. And this is what crafts a grace-filled environment. So you've got to create a grace attraction zone, a magnetic zone, for grace to come into your environment, or for the favor of God to be attracted into that environment. Now, one of the many, many examples in the Bibles of grace-filled environments, for instance, if you take the Garden of Eden, which is commonly referred to as the Garden of the Lord, you can look at it as a grace-filled environment. When you look at what was in the garden, you see the four rivers that were there, and you see how whatever Adam did began to flourish and it began to bear fruit, because I would call it a grace-filled environment. If you look at Solomon's building pattern, and if you went into Solomon's royal palace, and what the Queen of Sheba saw was because of Solomon's wisdom, but it was also a grace-filled environment. And so pictures like that are throughout the scriptures, showing us, as you analyze them, how to build these grace environments, so that when our children are within those environments, there are certain outcomes, certain results that will be produced in their lives. So for them to handle the postmodern problems that we are facing today, and many children are suicidal because of the pressure of the norms of society. Many children are in great depression. Lots of children are filled with anger and hatred, as the book of Proverbs chapter 30 talks about, a generation whose teeth are gnashing and who are filled with hatred. A lot of them are very rebellious. But for us as citizens of the kingdom, we must know how to develop the right environment so that our children can overcome these postmodern problems. One of the things about a grace-filled environment is that the child quickly becomes secure in their identity. Children have a very, very fickle-minded view about their identity as they are growing up. Therefore, they, as I mentioned last week, they get attracted to certain celebrities, to certain idols, and they want to model themselves around that because they are still trying to find their identity. But when you look at Jesus Christ, who was growing up in a graceful environment, he very quickly grew into his identity as the Son of God. That's why at the age of 12, the Bible declares he was already about his father's business, because he already started to develop his identity. Now, just by way of an example, and I've covered this before, but I'll repeat it. When you read the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 to 36, we all know of the Shunammite woman whose son died while he was in the field. And so the child was taken and was put in the room where Elisha used to come and stop and rest in the house of this Shunammite woman and her husband. And so in 2 Kings 4:32, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child. And he did that seven times, as we know. And then the child opened his eyes. And in verse 36, he says, and he called to Gazi, and he said, call the Shunammite woman. And he called her. And when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. So the child was laid in what was called the upper room. And the upper room is another picture of a grace-filled environment. You see the disciples gathering in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And we see how the glory of God comes down upon them. So the child was laid in the upper room that was built for Elisha to come and to rest. Now, there were four pieces of furniture in this upper room. There was the bed, there was the table, there was a chair, and there was a lampstand. Each of these are pictures of what is required to build a grace environment, so that children begin to be impacted by that environment. The first thing was a bed. Now, when we think about the bed, we think of it as a place of rest, a place of meditation, the place of intimacy, the place of growth, and the home. The home must be an environment of strong intimacy among the family and also intimacy with God. When we think of the bed, we often think of it as a place to sleep where we are tired, but we must also think of it as a place of refreshment. Obviously, once you get up from your tiredness after you rest, then you feel refreshed. So the home must be a place of refreshment and vitality for our children. Children are very stressed. Today, they face high levels of stress because of unsafe environments, because of a crime-ridden environment, because of bullying at school, because of social media pressure that they are facing, and many, many other things that they are facing in life. And only for them to come back home to another war zone-like environment, we have to know how to build the bed factor into the home, where children feel refreshed when they come home and not stressed out. In that way, you are developing an environment where the child begins to partake and access grace within the home. The second piece of furniture was a table. And the table is where families sit to fellowship, to celebrate. They sit to discuss. They sit to eat. And our fellowship, while it is around food, it is around birthdays, it is around special occasions, it must also be occasions to discuss certain principles in the Word, to discuss certain truths that are in the Word. The Word of God carries a very, very important commodity called grace. That's why it's called words of grace. So when the Word is being discussed, it is able to impart grace to the hearer. And the hearer must be your children. We have to talk to our children about salvation. We have to talk to them about baptism. We have to talk to them about resurrection. We have to talk to them about receiving Christ into their lives. Don't assume, even for pastors that are listening to me this morning, that your children are saved, because they are facing all kinds of influences in the Bible. You will be surprised to know that many children are agnostics. They believe half and half. They believe in humanism and they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in universalism and they believe in Jesus Christ, because they are facing all kinds of different things in the world. Therefore, we have a duty to create a table for them in our homes to be able to understand these very, very important truths. You have to command them in the way of the Lord. You have to teach them in the way of the Lord. This is how grace is transmitted to them. The third piece of furniture was a chair. And the chair is a symbol of authority. It is a throne where the entire home is administrated from. And there must be an understanding of spiritual and domestic authority in the home. The priestly role of both husband and wife as authority figures in the home must begin to influence the life of their children, and it must be clearly established as a way in which grace can be transmitted to our children. Oil flows from the head, and as parents, we are heads over our children, and therefore, we must be dispensers of the anointing into the lives of our children. Now, this is not high-level spirituality. This is simply knowing who is in charge. And you don't have to tell people who is in charge by screaming, by being autocratic. That's why the Bible says, do not provoke your children to wrath, because we try to establish ourselves in terms of authority. Listen, children are sensitive to who is in charge. If you have respect, if you are able to establish yourself with the correct attitude in your home, not having this commanding chief kind of attitude, because in that way you produce a rebellious, and then children learn discipline by fear, not because of love. The Father is clear about why he disciplines us, because he loves us. So the way we use our authority in the home is to actually dispense grace for our children. Time will not permit me to elaborate. The last piece of furniture was a lampstand. We all know the lampstand is about light. And that light means that you can find the bed, you can find the chair, you can find the table. Without the light, you can't find that. So the light is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We are called salt and light to the earth, many applications of light. And all of that has to be balanced in terms of having the home as a place where there is light. Now, light means that darkness is dispelled, and grace does that. When you are able to fill your home with the Word of God, to fill your home with the light of God's Word, through declarations, through the prayer, even if you're playing the audio Bible from time to time, or you are playing messages of your spiritual father in your home, what you don't realize is that you are filling your home with light, and darkness is dispelled, and there's a restraint on evil. This also confers protection upon your children by the speaking of the word because of light. So know how to fill your home with light, or rather the light of God's word, so that everything comes under the illumination of God's word. So when you take the lampstand, the table, the chair, and the bed, this is how you develop an upper room, or you develop a grace-filled environment so that children can handle this post-modern era. The family is under very serious threat, and it is also under threat because of the postmodern way of thinking. And governments are adopting into legislation and creating policy that is redefining family. You and I have a great responsibility to remain resolute in teaching our children what a family is and how a family lives and how to build strong families. You will learn one thing in your life as you grow, that you can have many friends and many associates, but at the end of the day, it's your family that will support and will stand with you. So if you build your children with the right ethos, with circumcision, with weaning. Last week we spoke about the aspect of, the aspect of crafting the right mentalities. And this week we spoke about developing a grace environment. If you think about these five sessions that we've had and you just reflect on them, we must be able to raise our children in a post-modern era. I hope that these sessions have been challenging for you, some things that you can think about. This is our last session today on this particular subject. So please go back, reflect on them. They are all available on our app, and you can download them or you can listen to them over. You can also welcome to share them with others. May the grace of the Lord be with you, even as we think about how we raise our children in a postmodern society. Amen.